You know, I'm not gonna pretend. I did try it just to see.
Did you?
Yeah, and I'm like, I can't.
I want to hear it now.
No,
just... do it.
Yes.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Bob podcast. Today, we are doing our very first spotlight on a guest star from the I Love Lucy show. It will be on Frank Nelson, who we discussed a little bit last week.
Yeah, when we were talking about the quiz show, Freddie Fillmore.
Yes, he was the announcer. He was Freddie Fillmore. And so we just decided he's been in a lot. And by a lot, I mean he was in 11 different episodes of I Love Lucy. And then on other shows. He was actually on My Favorite Husband quite a bit as well.
He was in just about everything. I mean, his voice spanned 6 decades, which is crazy.
So we decided he would be a very good first spotlight. And I hope you guys like it. We'll be putting in some of these. And if you guys have a person that you'd really like us to talk about that you see on the show, send us a message and we can see what we can do about that.
Yeah, what I like is any I Love Lucy fan will recognize some of these recurring, you know, appearances of these actors over and over because they do it so often. And Lucy was so faithful to her friends that she always had the same people over and over playing different characters, which I love. So he was born Frank Brandon Nelson in Colorado Springs, Colorado, May 6, 1911. And wow, all these years.
So I found that his career began in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, when he was a teenager and he auditioned for and got a role of a husband on a local radio series, KOA in Denver, Colorado. Now, I read this little summary of his career that he discussed his own career and he wrote it out. And I found it interesting because as I was reading it and then I went back and found that he was in his teens when he did this, he was playing a role of a 30-year-old man.
And the wife, I think, was a woman in her 30s.
Yeah, she was 32 years old.
So there's that. I guess I would really like to know what this 15-year-old Frank Nelson sounded like enough to convince you that he's in his 30s.
True. And what did he have to say? I mean, he's playing a husband, right?
Yes.
So 15. I just wonder, you know, it's like when you hear, you know, young children singing songs about heartbreak and you're like, you don't understand. How can you sing with so much passion? Even if they do, you're just like, do you understand that sort of heartbreak?
Or now that you're
such a lost love.
Who hurt you at 12? No one hurt you that much at 12. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see, to listen to what that was at 15 years old playing a husband. That's
And I don't know the name of that. And I don't know if we can even find it.
Yeah,
but it was, we can do some looking and I can see if I can find it. But it's just interesting to think, you know, that he was playing a 30-year-old, half his age, with a woman who was 32 years old. And
how did she feel doing that too?
I know. I feel like I'd be really awkward. Like, whoa, thankfully they didn't have to, he was acting and it was on radio. So people didn't see him, but she was in the studio with him and she saw him reading those lines, you know?
I'm sure there was no mustache then because he's also known for his mustache. Cause I do remember there's a line where this is later on, but the Jag Benny show where, you know, he has this sarcastic, whip about him. And he just says, do you work at this airport? No, I'm just a 747 with a mustache. So he was always known to, you know, point out his mustache, but at 15, I don't think that was the case.
Probably not, but maybe that's why he got it.
That's true. That's true.
So that series lasted about 6 months. And then he worked as a radio announcer at KFEL in Denver.
Mm-hmm. And he first found fame, as we all came to know him, was on the Jag Benny show. He did do shows before that, but when we're talking about just his name being known, was on Benny's radio show during the 40s and the 50s. he was usually like a sales clerk or customer service worker who just didn't really help much, but he was there to provide that comedic, iconic line of his whenever they, you know, tapped him on the shoulder and asked him if he was working there. you want to try to do the line?
No. Are you gonna? You do it.
We'll insert it here.
Yeah.
Yes. Now this next man is due to be executed at dawn, so I'm sure he'll be a little more cooperative.
A soldier?
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you work here?
No, I just thought it'd be fun to rent a tuxedo and stand around.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, that was.
I can't do his voice.
You know, I'm not going to pretend. I did try it just
did,
to see.
Did you?
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't.
I want to hear it now.
No,
do it, do it, do it.
Yes. We just lost all listeners.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks. We're done. Thanks. That was a fun run.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would always be a fun banter with the two, with Jack Benny, who, by the way, was Lucille Ball's neighbor in Beverly Hills on Roxbury. She always mentions that, you know, he's her neighbor. And so the banter between the two men was always fun to watch because he's so sarcastic. So sarcastic.
Yes. I mean, when you said that he was on everything, though, I mean, he worked in 1933, he was doing freelance jobs and he was in over 130 different radio shows.
Now, I read something that said he has, you know, throughout his entire career made 10,000 appearances. And I was kind of hesitant to even say it out loud, but it does sound plausible. 10,000?
I mean, if it was just like a line here or there, or just I could see that. Hmm. And with freelance work, you know.
Yeah.
But that does seem like a lot.
It does.
I believe 130 before.
Before 10,000.
My goodness.
How old is this man? But yeah, so if we just, you know, jump right into it, the Isle of Lucy appearances, you know.
Yes. We can actually list the shows that he was in.
Yeah. Those are
the quiz show
with
Fillmore.
Freddie Fillmore, yeah,
who's the game show host. That's episode 5.
Females are fabulous. We'll have a session of Females Are Fabulous, our very outstanding program based on the theory that any woman is willing to make an idiot out of herself in order to win a prize.
And then he also was when Lucy gets Ricky on the radio and, you know, she thinks that he's a genius with all the answers, but really he just listened to it cheated. Not too long ago. Yeah, cheated, really. He was the host there also.
Yeah, he was Freddie Fillmore again, and that was episode 32.
You all ready for your questions?
Yes, sir.
Oh, they're going to be pretty hard. What is the name of the animal that fastens itself to you and drains you of your blood?
The collector of internal revenue.
And then episode 56, Lucy changes her mind. He was the waiter that kept, you know, he finally left because she couldn't decide.
Yeah. Now, see, every time I watch that episode, I love it because he just gives up at the end and quits. But I'm of the mindset, maybe it's just being introverted, that if something's like wrong with the order or I'm not happy, I just don't bother because I'm afraid to do that to a waiter.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And so I mean,
you know,
those are okay. So I'm just gonna a teeny tiny soapbox for 1 second. All right. I love teeny tiny. I love episodes where they just bring up a quirk or something for one episode and then they never bring it up again.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just for the show, just for that one episode. And I feel like that's this because you see, she's a little indecisive, but my goodness, she couldn't do anything.
It started from the moment they left the apartment all the way through.
And I was like, okay, so they're obviously very much just pinpointing on this one for this one episode.
You're right. Kind of like when she can't lie, that's never brought up again. It's just for like the one episode when she can't tell a lie. So you're right. They kind of like point out a quirk or, you know, something that.
But yeah, I mean, I tend to not, unless it's like an egregious error. I don't usually say anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't want to do that. Just quit and hand me his plates. Upset. And then, although when he sticks that, is it a breadstick in her mouth? Just when, you know,
yeah,
to keep
her- so. Yeah, just to keep her quiet.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
So he did do that she can't make up her mind. And then he's also the train conductor, the famous train conductor, when she goes to pull the lever to kind of make the train stop. So he loses his ever loving mind about four times during that one episode. And yes. His line is, "Ma'am, did you stop this train by pulling this, what is it, rope or string?"
Yeah.
She says, "What would she say?" Then, "Well, I certainly didn't do it by dragging my foot."
Yes, that's the Great Train Robbery. That's episode 132. He was also in episode 65. Ricky and Fred are TV fans. He's the police sergeant who thinks Lucy and Ethel are notorious pickpockets.
"I'm Lucy Ricardo. This is Ethel Merton, your Sergeant Nelson. Yeah. How do you do?
How do you now cut that?"
Hey, there's the $1 million idea. He was Dickie Davis, the host of a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's episode 79, episode 88, Lucy's Hawaiian Vacation. He is Freddie Fillmore again.
Yes, when they when she pretends to be their mother. When I say their mother, I mean the Mertz's mother, and which is just comical because they don't know whose mother it is at the end of it. But yeah, Freddie Fillmore comes over in his suit. He's always in a suit, and they're very impressed to see him show up at their apartment. And he was also a customs officer when they're coming home from Europe, and she tries to sneak in the cheese.
Yes. I love that episode.
So you're saying this is not a baby, but it is in fact a block of cheese.
And then it's all in the instruments.
It's all, yeah, melted.
Oh, that's awful. That was episode 153. Episode 103 is Ricky's movie officer. He was Ben Benjamin,
the talent scout, or the he's looking for an actor to make the movie that he eventually did in LA. So I guess it's during the time they're having break-ins, and Ethel clocks him over the head with a vase, and they just do like a Weekend of Bernie's type of thing with Mr. Ben Benjamin on the couch. And when he comes to, we've just been sitting here chatting. Yes. He has no idea what the heck just happened.
And then the last two are both when they've moved to the country. So Lucy gets chummy with the neighbors, and the country club dance. He's Ralph Ramsey.
Ralph Ramsey, yes. And I think that's the end of the I Love Lucy appearances. Yeah, I love them in that role, only because, you know, towards the end of the first one, Lucy gets chummy with the neighbors, and they end up fighting, and he pushes somebody into a rose bush. Just a mess, but because they get insulted. And of course, the country club one is when they're all drooling over Barbara Eden and the husbands.
I know.
Oh, that's that new perfume that Betty's wearing. Brings out the beast in a man.
I won't go through them all because this isn't about this show, but in my favorite husband, he was in 12 of those shows as well.
Just playing random characters?
Yep. Okay. Same with I Love Lucy, just different players.
And you could probably, I don't remember what those episodes are, but he's probably very easy to pick up.
So just a little... just one, for example, my favorite husband, Liz changes her mind. You know how a lot of them are overlapping. Mm-hmm. He plays pretty much the same character, the same role on.
Oh, okay.
He changes her mind.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you've watched those, you'd be able to go, oh, he's, you know, the waiter there as well.
Okay. That makes sense. So what I did find interesting about, Frank Nelson's life is the work he did with the Screen Actors Guild and the AFTRA, which is a performance union. He served as the head of it between 1954 and 1957. And up until his death in 1986, he was an advocate for the AFTRA performance to, you know, make sure that everyone got paid the appropriate amount for the work that they did, because he did so much work that he probably had a lot of, you know, butting heads with unions and maybe not being paid properly for the work, because I think a lot of his was voiceover work. So I thought that was interesting that I did not know he was an advocate for that.
I didn't know that either. And that's really important work. So it's really cool that he was a part of that.
Yeah, I think they named either an award or a floor or something in his honor. It's really to negotiate inclusions of the pension and welfare plans for our contracts covering live television. So he really wanted to make sure all the you know, aspects of performing were covered, and health insurance and all of that. That's really great.
He basically wrote a summary of his career.
Oh, yes. I did see that.
In the 1980s. And yes. So you guys can, if you're interested, mm-hmm. you can go and look that up. It is.
It's actually
all about his, Frank Nelson.
Yes. On the website dedicated to him, which is, I'm not sure if it's run by the family or somebody, but it's called just franknelson.net.
Yep. Franknelson.net. And it's actually run by someone who just is a big Frank Nelson fan. And then family members of Frank Nelson reached out and sent them some stuff. So that's things that are on there. So that's really.
Yes. And yeah. On there is where that timeline of shows, if you go down the list, you'll get exhausted, goodness. Because there's so much, starting from, my goodness, 1934, all the way down to wherever this time period was that he was writing this. But he was in a lot of shows. You got Adam's Family, the Phil Silver Show, Petticoat Junction, just all kinds of shows he was on. And then he did some commercials for McDonald's too.
That's cool.
Yeah. And when I heard this radio interview he did in the 80s, he said that he had like a section of fans that when he was in his prime, you know, fans would come up to him and do his famous line of, yes, I'm going to do it again.
Yes.
More quiet. Yes. And you know, kids would come up and say that line to him and all that. So then time goes on. And now he found like a new group of fans in the 80s because his voice was lent for the McDonald's ads. And by this time, his son was much older at school age. And he said that his son would come home saying all his little friends would chase him doing the yes slogan because they just heard it on McDonald's and knew that was his father. So that's a new, you know, wave of fans that he acquired in the 80s. I thought that was interesting.
He's also been on a few movies as well.
Yeah, not as many
a few movies.
Yeah, right.
Not on.
Yeah.
But yes, not as many. He definitely did more voice acting.
Yeah, mainly for radio. And then, you know, he did a lot with the Marx Brothers, Burns and Allens, Fibber McGee and Molly, Bing Crosby, Eddie Cantor, Rudy Valley, Eve Arden. I mean, these are all just, you know, top-notch actors in their day. And that, you know, he was also on The Simpsons a few times. They used his voice for a character. And that was pretty neat to see. I mean, this is after he passed, but that's
how he's got 10,000. Yeah. They just keep using his voice for things.
Or every time a Lucy episode airs with him, they just
add on another one.
Just count it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a really extensive, you know, career. He died September 12, 1986. So that career began in 1926. That's crazy. 60 years.
That is. And I mean, it must be so fun to be able to do voices. I don't know. He has such a distinctive voice, you know, and I think that's one of the things that helped him, you know. I mean, he was a great voice actor in general, but I think having such a distinctive voice was really, you know, helpful. People wanted to hear that, and they knew who he was when they did hear it.
No. Yeah, that's when you know you have something, when you don't have to see the person, you immediately know who it is. And he was married twice. First was to Mary Lansing, that he met while doing a radio show. Also, she was known from the Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry, RFD, and Happy Days. And his wife, when he passed, was Viola Vaughn, which I believe is also an actress, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not reading it all right now, I promise. But I did read his summary, and I know I said you could find it, but I think it's kind of fun to read it because it's just in his own voice.
Yeah.
And they actually have a place where you can select it and see, because he wrote it all out and you can see it in his own hand, which is kind of even
that's neat.
Cooler.
I would, you can hear it in his voice when you're reading it.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Totally hear it. But yeah, that's a fun little spotlight on him, because he appears so often, and so do some other ones on I Love Lucy we'll be spotlighting later. But this was fun because he did do 11 appearances on I Love Lucy.
Yes. I hope you guys like this spotlight. I think we're just... it seems like this one will be shorter than our, you know, our episodes, but and a little bit more condensed, but that's all right. I think it's still important to have these spotlights, to shout out these amazing co-stars and guest actors.
Yeah. I love that. So if you guys have any more suggestions or, you know, corrections or anything
that we miss,
yes, trivia. Things like that. Go ahead and email us. Yeah.
Yes, of course. And we're always very interested in hearing your facts. I know we've gotten a few emails, and I'm just going to say this, that we get all of your facts. We get all of your emails. We respond to all of you, but we also will either put, you know, something on Instagram and say corrections, or we do plan later on to do, you know, a longer episode where we kind of go back and we discuss some of the things maybe we got wrong or that we missed. And so that's where we'll be able to give you guys more of a shout out on the podcast for those facts and corrections.
Yeah, so. There's just so much going on in 2021 with Lucy. So we'll be hearing from a lot of you guys, we hope. So thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next one.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.